Amen. That was beautiful worship. Amen. I do believe the Lord received that, and it was sweet, sweet, sweet in his ear. Amen. Well, first and foremost, before I get into God's word this morning, I just want to say something, and that is that I need to move my microphone right here. I got the signal from Char. He's like, move your mic. Is that better? Anyway, first thing I want to say, man, just how grateful I am just for the blessing that we have of a pastoral leadership team at this church. When we planted this church many years ago, it was me, and we did have quite a few great leaders and people invested, but today we have a lot more people that are still working very hard, but I also have a great pastoral team here. I mean, we are just blessed to have five men who serve at that role, and it's fantastic. And that's unique to some degree. It shouldn't be because it's biblical, but man, what a blessing it is. So I just want to say thanks to those men and how they serve and how they support everything that we do in this church. And may God get the glory. Amen. Amen. Yeah, you can give them a hand. That's fine. Absolutely. They deserve it. Well, the message title for today is Get in the Game. And we've been kind of hinting for a little while that we are going to be really just pressing into the work of the kingdom here at Island Church and trying to get all of you involved in that as well. And so what we're going to be talking about today, if you've been following along in our discipleship book, is using your gifts to serve others. It piggybacks on the sermon that we had last week. We are called, just in case you didn't know this, to serve one another. We are called to serve others. Yeah, even that person that you're thinking about right now that I really don't want to serve them. Yes, we are called to serve them. We are. In fact, you might be surprised that every believer, every follower of Jesus Christ is called to be a minister.
Say what?
That's right. You're called to be a minister. You're called to be a minister. In the Bible, ministry is defined this way: service to God and to other people. Service to God and other people. That comes from a Greek word, an ancient Greek word. Let's make sure I don't slaughter it. Diakonia. That's it. Diakonia, which means to serve and to act as a helper. To serve and to act as a helper. So we're called to serve. We are called to minister and serve other people. You know, while pastors and church leaders, they might have a maybe a full-time role or a specific calling on their lives, the Bible demonstrates very clearly for all of us, if we've been reading it, that every Christian is called to do the work of ministry using their unique personal gifts that God has given them, those God-given abilities that we talked about last week. A scripture, in fact, that we shared last week was 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. It says this, just to refresh. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received, and that's from God, natural and supernatural, let's put it that way, to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. And notice I said various. Various. So I didn't mean like, well, you know, I'm just going to do this one thing and I'm done. It means there are multiple ways that we can serve, bring glory to God. And Jesus also taught us that true ministry is about humble service. It's not about seeking power. It's not about seeking fame. It's not about seeking fortune, okay? It's about service. It's not about status. It's about service, not status. Jesus said this, he came to, the scripture tells us, he came to what? Serve, not be served. It says also he gave his life as a ransom for many. We see that in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. And if that was Jesus' attitude and we are his followers, should that not be our attitude as well? I couldn't hear you. Yeah, it should be, amen. We should serve in the same manner that our Lord Jesus Christ modeled for us. Absolutely. So in Romans chapter 1 and 2, we talked about this last week, the Apostle Paul, He speaks to us about our response to the work of God in our lives. He writes that in view or in light of God's mercies, that we should offer our bodies and our minds as a living sacrifice for him. I put it this way, because Jesus died for us, we should live for him. It's really that simple, isn't it? Amen? And then if we look at Romans chapter 12, verse 3, all the way through the remainder of the chapter where we're going to spend our time today. So if you want to turn your Bibles, you can go ahead and go to chapter 12 of Romans. What we see there, Paul is writing to us how the Christian, you and me, we should respond not only to other people in God's family, but those who are far away from God. So believers and unbelievers, how we should respond in kind to them. Before we get too far into that, though, I just want to have a quick review to kind of set up of last week to kind of set up where we're going today. Is that okay with everybody? And if it's not, too bad, okay? I wasn't asking. I'm just telling you, okay? All right. So in last week's message, I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you recall. There were several truths that came out of that for us to see that we share on screen. We're not going to put them on the screen today. I encourage you that if you were not here last week, go to our website and watch the sermon. It's on our website. You can see it there and get caught up with us, okay? But there were several truths that came out of that passage, and they're going to resonate again in today's message for us to see. They continue to be a foundation for how we should serve as followers of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? I make sure we have enough coffee in us, okay? If you're not, there's back there. Ruthie takes good care of us. She puts coffee in those crafts. Go get some, all right? All right, I would walk around with an IV of caffeine if I could, all right? So when we're talking about serving, when we're talking about ministering to others, okay, it must start with certain attitudes, or rather, maybe a spirit. And that would be, if God's righteousness has been imputed in us, then that's the spirit that we should serve with. Okay, let's put it that way. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says this. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. So it's given by the Spirit to each one, right? And it says for common good. You remember that from last week if you were here? Okay, for common good. So here's a quick review. Every Christian is given spiritual gifts. We're given God-given abilities. The scripture says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. When that is given, when it says the manifestation of the Spirit, and that's not meant to scare anyone, you're like, what's that mean? What that simply means is that if Jesus is living in you and you've been gifted with spiritual gifts, which if you're a follower of Jesus, you have them and maybe you just haven't activated them or employed them yet. But if Jesus is living in you, then the manifestation of the Spirit is a reflection of Jesus Christ in your life and everything that you do and how you serve. Amen? That makes sense, right? Truth number two was that the spiritual gifts, those God-given abilities are given as gifts. So you can't demand them. You can't go, Lord, I want this gift, and get upset with God. They can't be earned as well. Some of us, you know, we think that if we're good, and I think Steve and Al alluded that this morning in the opening and in the scripture prayer, we think we can earn our way into heaven. I'm sorry, it is by grace and grace alone, period. But the response to that grace that God has given us and we believe into Jesus by faith, the result of that is good works. Not because we're trying to earn something, but because we've been given something. See the difference? So it's a free gift. So we can't demand it. We can't earn it. Truth number three, the Holy Spirit is the giver of spiritual gifts. The manifestation of the Spirit is given. So what this means for you and for me is that God, through his Spirit, decides to who and what they will get as a gift. So we don't demand, we don't earn. And another truth that we got out of last week's message was spiritual gifts are given for the benefit of others. It is for the common good. So if you are using your spiritual gift and even your natural abilities for your advantage, it is for the benefit of all. It's for the benefit of others. It's to serve others, to build them up, and to serve God, bring him glory, and expand and further his kingdom. Can I just drop a mic there? I don't have one, so I can't do that, right? But that's it. And so like I said last week, this means that you and me, when we see other giftings employed by other people, we don't get jealous. We go, man, I sure wish I had their gifting, you know? You know, we don't get upset when maybe we see someone else exercise their gifting and see it benefit others. We don't get upset about that either. It also means that we display patience if the manifestation of the Spirit is in us, and a forgiving attitude, remembering that all parts of one body, we're all parts of one body, and each of us is called to benefit others. Basically, this is what it means. If we are using what God has given us, both in the natural giftings that maybe we were born with, and then the spiritual gifts that he has later imputed in us at the time of justification, then we're using those gifts to serve him, serve others, build others up, and further his kingdom while we're here on earth. That's it. Bottom line. A spiritual gift is a special ability given by the Holy Spirit to each and every Christian, every follower of Christ, for the purpose of serving faithfully, serving and building others up, and advancing God's kingdom on earth. We make it so much harder than that, don't we? But that's really the bottom line. And you know what that looks like here at Island Church? It looks like this. Every interaction should reflect the love of Christ. Every interaction should reflect the love of Christ. I'm going to say that over and over again. You're going to hear that a lot because that is the truth. Someone walks in that door for the first time, every interaction reflects the love of Christ. When you're outside, when you're walking, when you're talking, when you're hanging out, when you're doing your thing, every interaction should reflect the love of Christ. If your life has been transformed by the love of Christ, then every interaction should reflect that love that's inside of you. Amen? Our serving, our ministering should reflect the work of Christ and the love of Christ in our lives. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 12. That was my warm-up for this morning. Okay, we're going to start at verse 3. I'm going to read the scripture. We're going to go all the way through verse 8. We're going to pray, and then we're going to dive into this, okay? Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Everyone should be there. I gave you a great head start. All right, here we go. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, listen to this, we need to hear this, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned or distributed to you, depending on what translation you're looking at. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. To the one who teaches, in his teaching. To the one who exhorts, in his exhortation. To the one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to make this word so plain for us today that we would hear it and be moved toward action. As I said earlier, our response in light of your mercy should be that we offer our bodies and our minds, our entire life as a living sacrifice for you. And I pray this morning that we would be compelled to do so. Help us, Lord, to not just compartmentalize this. I pray we wouldn't do that, but that, Lord, we would use this message to become more introspective of how we can better get in the game, how we can better serve others using our gifts, the gifts that you have given us, so that we would bless others. And I pray, Lord, that this morning your word would speak clearly and that, Lord, it would be heard. In Jesus' name, and we all agreed and said, amen. So according to Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, there's got to be three attitudes that should mark each and every Christian as they seek to live out their new transformed life in Jesus Christ. And these gifts, these three attitudes will help us to serve one another as we employ our God-given abilities if we will practice them. Because practice makes what? Habits, that's right. Number one is humility. This is the first attitude that Paul lays out for us in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. He says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed or given to each of you." You know, when it comes to using your spiritual gifts, the fundamental attitude that should be the mark of a transformed life is humility. It's humility. There is no room for us to have a high opinion of ourselves. There's no room for that. Do not think more highly of yourself than you ought. That's what the scripture says. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says this. It reminds us that all that we have is a result of God's grace in our life. So the minute you start to think, well, look at me and look at what I got. I got news for you. That is the grace of God. Now, I remember running into a couple that had been married for over 50 years. It wasn't you guys, I promise, someone else. And I said, "How'd you guys do it?" And it was grace. I said, "It's all grace. It's all God's grace. All that we have is a result of the grace of God." It says in 1 Corinthians 4, 7, it says, "For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not receive it?" Wow, do you hear that? That's what we do. That's why there is no room for ego. That's why there's no room for boasting. That's why there's no room for developing a sense of superiority about our giftedness. Oh, I'm so good in this area. Look at me. No, look at Jesus. All we have is as a result of a sovereign God giving good gifts to each and every one of us. That's it. And he gives it to us for the benefit of what? Others. And for what? The glory of his namesake. That's what for. The Apostle Paul is not only calling people to avoid thinking of themselves more highly than they should, but also to think of themselves in the right manner, the right way. He says this. He says, "Think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you." Sober judgment. That's important. We're supposed to think of ourselves in keeping with the faith that God has given to each and every one of us. And while we're not supposed to have a high view of ourselves, we're also not to have an unhealthy view of ourselves. For example, if we did, then that could be a sign of false humility. And that's dangerous too, isn't it? Paul, he points out that we ought to have a right, we ought to have a healthy view of ourselves, knowing that all that we have is from God. It's from God. It's a gift from God. Believers, we are children of God. Amen? How many of you agree with me on that? We are his children, and we've been gifted by God. So we are his children, and as our heavenly Father, he gives us good gifts. Just like we do for our kids, right? Here on earth. And our responsibility is to use those spiritual gifts with an attitude of humility. I'm going to ad-lib here. This is not in the slides, but I want you to see some. When I talk about humility, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, it starts by saying this. This is not on the slides, so bear with me. I'm throwing one in, so they're kind of off. You're just going to have to follow along. "It is impossible," this is humility right here, "it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away to be brought back to repentance. Here it is. Listen to this. This is humility. To their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Another translation says shame. We are exposing him to shame. You know what humility is that your Lord and Savior would step out of heaven, become a man, live a life like you and me are living, hurt like you and I are hurting, but still being blameless, still be found sinless. And then instead of receiving the reward that's promised to those who live a righteous life, he took sin upon himself for you and for me so that we might become the righteousness of God. You remember that from last week? But here's where it gets important. This is what you need to hear. When he was on the cross, some of us, you know, we watch the TV shows and he was wearing a loincloth. When it says expose him to public shame, this is humility. He was completely naked on the cross. And every time that we neglect our Lord, every time that we sin, every time we don't serve like he serves, every time we just reject whatever way that might be, we are exposing him, as the scripture says, to public disgrace, public shame. That's humility. And that's how you and me are supposed to serve others for the benefit of other people. So we build them up and we build God's kingdom and we bring him glory. Amen? Okay, that's my sidebar. I'm back in. As you get in the game, and we're going to ask you to get in the game, you must have an attitude of humility. You must have an attitude of humility. That's the first and the foundational truth and attitude that should mark every person who has a transformed life in Jesus Christ, every person who serves. Because when we have that attitude of humility, that mark, it means that we're able to fully employ God's spiritual gifts in our lives to serve others, benefit others, build up others, and build up his kingdom and bring him glory. The second attitude that we should have that Paul outlines for us in Romans 12 is unity. Unity. He says in verses 4 and 5, he says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belong to all the others." So not only must we have an attitude of humility, but we must also have an attitude of unity. That should be the mark of our lives as we seek to serve others and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, even though there's so much diversity in the body of Christ, the Bible makes it clear right here that we are all one body because of Christ. Each of us belongs to the other. And when we remember that truth, we are gonna strive for unity as we serve one another and we serve others. We need each other just as a physical body needs every body part. Amen? You know, if I only have one leg, I'm gonna be hopping, right? I need both hands to do certain things, play the drums, play guitar, you know. We need that. You know, it's not like I cut off my left hand and go, "I'm gonna leave you at home today," right? I need all my body parts. And you know what? The same is true of the church. We are many parts, but one body in Christ. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 12:25. He said, "There should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other." Everybody hear that? No division. So our goal as Christ's church, listen to me this morning, should be Bible-based unity that's laid out for us in his word. We see it right there. We are one. You and I are one. We are one in the body of Christ. We hurt together. We rejoice together. Just like in the human body, when one part gets hurt, man, you feel it, don't you? Like yesterday, I was out all day working in the sun, and about 2 o'clock, I started feeling really bad. And I literally started knocking, shooting at the house with a hose and trying to get somebody to come. I didn't want to walk up the stairs. I was done. And I nearly fell out from heat exhaustion. I felt my whole body going, ugh. I overdid it. So that's how it works. If my hand hurts, I'm going to know. If you hurt, we should know. If you rejoice, we should rejoice with you. And this subject of unity is so important, okay? Within the body, it's so important that even Jesus himself prayed for unity. In John chapter 17, verse 21, he said that all of them, listen to this, may be one. They may be one. Father, just as you and I, you are in me and I am in you. Do you catch that? He prays that for us. In Ephesians 4:3, the Apostle Paul, he urges us to pursue unity. Pursue it. Go after it. He writes this. He says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's huge. Do you know that it takes effort to maintain unity within the body of believers? You know that, right? It's hard work. I can tell you it's hard work. Been ministry for decades. And man, this is the first time, honestly, that we have strived to create unity within the church because we have focused on the main thing, and the main thing is Jesus Christ. Amen? And so when we talk about maintaining and making every effort to maintain peace using the bonds or maintain unity using the bonds of peace, it means that you and me, we overlook petty little issues that can easily threaten unity within the body of Christ. It means that you and I, like I said earlier, we display patience and a forgiving attitude, remembering that we are all one body and each of us is called to benefit each other and others for the glory of God. So as we get in the game, we should have an attitude of humility. We should have an attitude of unity within God's church. I stress God's church. There's one more attitude that the Apostle Paul writes that we must have if we're going to serve one another. And that last one is faithfulness. In verses 6 and 8 of Romans 12, 6 through 8, he says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, teach. If it's encouragement, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, then do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Do it faithfully. You know, the basic idea here is that whatever gift that the Holy Spirit has given to you, those gifts are to be used. Used faithfully by each and every follower of Jesus Christ, every believer. You're not supposed to bury your gifts, and nor should you be lazy when it comes to employing and using them. Remember last week we talked about burying your gifts or hiding them under a bushel. Remember that? Those gifts are given, hear me this morning, so that we use them. So that we use them. You know, if you look at that list that the Apostle Paul gives us, and that's not the exhaustive list. That's just some of it, of the spiritual giftings that God gives. But the ones that he lays out for us, I have news for you. Pretty much everyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ is required to employ those gifts. We talked about that last week. Hospitality, mercy, teaching, sharing the word of God. We're supposed to do those things. Every believer, you and me, we should share the word of God with others. We should serve others. We should teach others. We should encourage others. We should give to others. We should show mercy to others. And those that have special spiritual gifts, well, we might be called to do a little more, but that's okay. But whatever God has given you, use it and use it faithfully. See, the issue is simply this. It's to use the gifts that God has given you faithfully. And listen, if you don't know what your gift is, then start by finding out what a need is, okay? Maybe in the church, maybe in community, and simply start serving. And maybe you'll discover what your gift is as you step out in faith to serve. You know, God has put the body together in such a way that spiritual gifts don't need to be hidden, but they need to be brought out in public and they need to be used, period. So as we get in the game, as you get in the game, let's make certain that that serving is marked by an attitude of humility, an attitude of unity, and an attitude of faithfulness. These three attitudes reveal that our lives have been transformed by God. They reveal that our lives have been transformed by God as we serve others and we bring glory to his name. Simply, church, it's time to get in the game. It's time to get in the game. Now, as I close, I want to share a couple thoughts with you real fast to kind of lay out what we shouldn't be doing. The Bible in Romans 12 clearly says that we are what? One body with many parts, right? So we're not supposed to live isolated. We're not supposed to live isolated. We can't use our spiritual gifts when we're in isolation. It goes back to what I said a little while ago. It's not like I'm going to decide one day that, you know, I don't need my hand today, so I'm going to cut this one off and I'm going to leave it home. It's going with me wherever I go, right? It's always with me. The body is supposed to be intact and together. That's important. We can't use our gifts if we're in isolation. They are to be used to benefit others. And if we're in isolation, we're not benefiting any other people. Get it? That's why it's important, so important, that you're in a local church. Amen. You're here this morning. I love it. Amen. But you're also in attendance when you're in town. Because we're meant to be together. This is our time of our corporate worship. It's important. And when we talk about isolation, we're also talking about just not limited to Sunday morning and our worship time together. I mean, there are other occasions when the church gathers together. We have island groups throughout the week. We have smaller Bible studies where there are one-on-ones, two or three people gathering together. There are times where you might go and just have coffee and lunch or something with someone else and just fellowship, you know, and you're just being together. There's second Sunday where everybody can come and be part of that and even serve and maybe cook some food to bring in. There are outreach opportunities, many outreach opportunities. There's serving opportunities all around us. So don't live in isolation. And this is also includes that we're also reaching out to other people, both those who are believers and those that are unbelievers outside the church walls. Because at the end of the day, it's God's goal that you and me become more like Christ. And if there's any other goal out there, you better throw it away, because that's it. God's desire for you and for me is that we become more and more like Christ. And that can't happen apart from community. You see, because in community, we can practice the one another command, right? By using our spiritual gifts appropriately to one another. Amen? So let me give you a few reasons why Christians don't put their spiritual gifts to effective use. One of them was listed in that scripture from last week in 1 Corinthians, and it's pride. It's pride. Well, everything's got to be my way or I'm not going to serve. I got to have the plaque on that chair or I'm not going to serve. You hear silly stuff like that all the time. If I'm not recognized, well, I don't want to do it. I've got to be recognized. Remember what I said about status earlier? It's not about status. It's about service, right? Or maybe it's a fear of failure. You're like, well, you know, what if I fail? How am I going to look to other people? And here's the thing that's important. You need to be more concerned about what God thinks rather than what people think. Okay? Another reason why people may not employ their spiritual gifts effectively is laziness. And this is common. This is common. I don't know if you know this. Serving takes effort. Serving takes effort. Saying yes to God and saying yes to God's work means that you're saying no to something else. You might be saying no to some other worldly activity or some other secular activity or something. I don't know. You know, just come on Sunday, show up, do my best. That's the best attitude that we can offer. And unfortunately, that's the mark of many professing Christians today in the church. That's enough. Let others do the more gifted stuff when there's an activity or a serving opportunity that needs to be filled. Having gifts does not automatically mean that we're going to use them. That's the sad part, isn't it? We've got to put our best foot forward. You know what that's called? It's called first fruits. It's first fruits. And what I mean by that is we're supposed to give God our best. That's not just in our tithing, that's our best period. You know, sometimes we have an attitude of, you know, I'll just do that later. You know, that's not great. You know, but we should have, when it comes to serving the Lord, we should have go, you know, I can't wait to serve my God. You know, I give you a case in point. You know, you think of Abel and Cain, you know. Abel brought what? The best of his, what? His flock. He brought the first fruits. He brought the youngest and the best. And Cain thought, you know, God's got everything. I'm just going to take him, you know, that pile that's left over there from last week. God wants our best. And laziness is a reflection of Cain. It is. And unfortunately, laziness seems to be the plaguing sin among so many of us today. And I'm not saying in this church, but just in general, along with prayerlessness, that's dangerous. Another reason why Christians might not serve effectively is discouragement. And this is a big one. Reasons abound. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we can look around there. We can be discouraged by anything, right? You know, I can look down and one of these could be off the wrong way. I'd go crazy. You know, I don't necessarily get discouraged, but it would distract me. You know, sometimes we see things like, you know, well, I just don't see much results. You know, nothing's changing. It's always the same. You know, and that's not true. My timing is not God's timing. And I trust him and the work that he's doing in each and every one of us. Amen? How many of you, your lives have just been transformed and they've been changing, you've been growing deeper in a walk with the Lord over the last year? I'm just curious. See? That includes me. God's doing work. And sometimes we're discouraged and we don't see that. And we're like, nothing's changing. And the truth is maybe you're not changing. Look around and see what God is doing in lives because that is what matters, amen? And maybe the discouragement can also be something like, man, there's just too much stuff going in my personal life. There's no way I can serve right now. And you know, when you're in that space, that's when you need to serve. You know, because then it all becomes about you and you're piling on yourself. But then if you're able to serve others, guess what? That becomes a very healthy distraction that also shows you what Jesus is doing in your life and what he did for you. Amen? You ought not think more highly of yourself than you ought. And one more reason why I think many Christians do not employ their spiritual giftings effectively is because they have misplaced priorities. Too much time is going towards worldly and other activities. People have all the energy on Saturday to get everything done on Saturday, and then they're too tired for what God needs. Or during the week, we have absolutely no time because we're so tied up with so many other things that we can't make time to keep our spirit fed, to be part of the body, whatever that looks like. And we provide many opportunities. Sometimes we're leading such busy lives that it makes it hard to be spiritually productive. Anybody ever feel that way before? That's easy to do that. And so what we need to do is think about this. Why am I so busy? You need to ask yourself a question. Why am I so busy? What am I so busy with? And whatever that with is, does it have eternal significance? Does it have eternal significance? That should be the question that we should be asking ourselves on a constant basis. You know, we're always going to be able to come up with excuses. Let's be honest. I'm good at it. We can convince ourselves why we're not putting our spiritual gifts, those things that God has given us, to good use. But the reality is this. The Lord Jesus calls us and he says, deny yourself and what? Follow me. He says, deny yourself and follow me. There's always a cost when it comes to using your spiritual gifts. But that should not stop us from fulfilling our call as his children. That shouldn't stop us from employing the gifts that he has given us to serve others, build others up, build his kingdom here on earth, and further in advance his kingdom as well as bring him glory. Someone said this one time. He said, but you know, the work that God has done in your life, he has saved you. He has lifted you out of the mire. Save people should serve others, because that's what our Lord did for us. And listen, the point is not that we have these impressive gifts. That's not it. The point is, how do we use the gifts that we have been given? Period. We've received mercy. We've received grace, all from our Lord. And so we should say this: may God's grace, may God's mercy motivate me anew to use the gifts that he has given in love to me to serve others, build others up, expand his kingdom and bring him glory while I'm here on earth. That's the point that the Apostle Paul is making in Romans chapter 12, verses 3-8. May the Holy Spirit who gives us the gifts, help us to put those gifts into practice. This morning, I'm challenging you. Think about what God has given and how you can employ that by getting in the game. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word. I pray that you've challenged our hearts, our thinking. I pray that we would tune every other voice out, that we would tune the world out, we would tune out social media and Google and all these other things, Lord, that we would try to gain some wisdom from when we're asking questions, and instead we'd go back to your word so that we have a direct access to what you're teaching us and what you're trying to say to us about how, Lord, we can use the gifts that you have given us to serve others for the glory of your name. I pray that you would challenge every person to think about what they're doing for the kingdom and how they're doing it. I pray that you would also help us to begin to question everything that we do with simply saying, what am I busy with? And does it have eternal significance? Does it have eternal consequence? And challenge us, Lord, to look at our heart. Look at the way we do things, and may it be from an attitude of humility, an attitude of unity, and an attitude of faithfulness. Help us, Lord, to not be bystanders or spectators, but be people who employ their gifts, the God-given abilities, the spiritual gifts that you have given, to serve others and bring you glory. Help us all to minister. I pray that now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Real quick, I just want to tell you a few ways. In the back of the book, it provides this for you, that you can serve. Here's a list of some of the things that we do here at Island Church, and there'll be more we're adding to it. We got greeters, seaters, hospitality, set up, tear down. We have audio, visual, we have media, we have Island Kids, we have youth, we have college career, we have outreach, we have guest follow-up, we have other serving opportunities. Look at that list and begin praying about how maybe you can get involved. It's a place for everyone. Think about it and follow up with one of the leaders. Talk to them about it and see how that you can get plugged in. Another way that you can get in the game is look for opportunities in your own community. Look at ways that maybe you might be able to serve your neighbors, love your neighbors. Do something for them. Acts of kindness. Serve them. Number three, look for what God is already doing in your community, our community, and join him in it. There are great ministries. Ruthie, we got the backpack. We got the shoebox, the Christmas shoeboxes. Those didn't come out. We have a race coming up, you know, that in October. We need people to do those things. You know, and it shouldn't be all the same people every year, right, Ruthie? It needs to be more people who are getting involved. There are ways for us to serve. Look for them and join God in what he's already doing. Another thing that you can do is brainstorm unmet needs in our community and maybe ways that Island Church, one body, right? We could help out, how we could come alongside it. Go talk to one of the pastoral team, a leader. Let them know what you think and how maybe we could help. And let me say this. If you're going to bring an idea, be prepared to serve. You know, just say, I got a great idea, and I think you can do it, brother. You know, that happens so often in church. We don't have this ministry. Well, help us, right? You know, step in and do it. But be prepared to serve in it. Maybe even be prepared to lead it. Don't expect someone else to do the work, right? I encourage you to do that. The bottom line is this. It's not how impressive your gift is. It's simply that you're using it to serve others and to build God's kingdom, bring him glory. That's it. So get in the game. And you might think of something else. We'll come up with your ideas. If it falls within the wheelhouse of what we do, then we'll consider that. Amen, right? We'll look at it. But pray about it. Seek God's face. And then as the scripture says in 1 Corinthians, just do it. But do it with the right attitude. Right attitude. What is it? Humility. Unity. Faithfulness. All right. We've got some announcements for you before we wrap up this afternoon.